My name is Martha Mead, and I'm 27 years old. Today's March 1st, 2018, and I'm speaking with Dan Moore, who is my coworker, and we're recording this interview in Chico, California. Tell me what you were like as a child. What did you look like, and how did you like to spend your time?
As a kid, I was always like the smaller kid. I was like skinny and like shorter and stuff like that. Always had an awkward haircut because my mom cut it. I was not always this way. I spent most of my time outside. I was a normal kid, nothing crazy. Like riding bikes and stuff like that. I was very energetic, always had to be doing something, always had to be moving. Very complacent if I wasn't. So it was always a handful.
Not the indoor books and
games
kind of guy.
Definitely not. Yeah.
Cool. What was your childhood home like? Who else lived in the house with you? What did your bedroom look like?
My childhood home was, it was like a single level house. It was like two bedroom with a basement. It was me and my sister, my mom and my dad. And then my bedroom, it was like you would walk in this like little doorway, which was interesting. It was like smaller than a normal door. But there was a bunk bed like just as you got in the room. But then there was like another day bed on the other side of the room.
Okay.
And then dresser, toy box. Yeah.
Did you do the whole poster thing, like when you were
in
school? Or?
During high school, yeah. Yeah, I had posters up. I mean, normal stuff. Athletes, cars, lady of the month kind of thing.
Nice.
We also, my mom let us have people sign our doors in Sharpie and stuff. So whenever someone would come by, they'd, sign it or, write something. So my door was, covered with signatures and little pictures that people would draw and stuff, so.
That's cool. So instead of the, height chart, you had an
autograph. Yeah, exactly.
Autograph book.
Yeah.
Tell me about your parents. What was your life like growing up?
So my parents split up when I was, how old are you in grade 4? I can't.
9, 10?
Yeah, something like that. So they split up then. But my dad, from what I remember, he was very much like the working man. Like he was the provider. Like that was kind of, I think like looking back, that was like his love language, like was to provide for his family. That's why like being a little kid, it kind of sucked because he never saw him. But like looking back, it's like, well, I never saw him because he had bills to pay. But, but memories I have with him, he's always, really happy-go-lucky, really funny guy, always really gentle and stuff like that. And then my mom, she was the housewife until they split up. And, just nice mom, very nurturing, very loving. And then after they split up, she was a single mom. And then she took on that role of a provider and, working all these crazy hours and stuff like that for me and my sister. And she's probably the strongest person I've ever met just because she, went through that and, she never had to ask for help from anything or, get handouts or stuff. So, yeah, both very strong people.
Yeah. Did your, was your dad in your life a lot after they split up?
For a few years. He, we did the weekends thing. We'd be at his place on the weekends. My mom's on during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then that slowly kind of became every other weekend and first weekend of every month, and then dinner every now and again. And I mean, I probably haven't seen him for 12 years or something like that now. So
quite a long time.
Yeah.
Tell me about your siblings, and were you close with them growing up? And are you still close with them?
Yeah, so I got one sibling, my little sister. She's 5 years younger than me. Growing up, we were always siblings, hate each other, love each other, depending on the day. I think it was really good that we had the age gap that we did, because the only time we were ever in school together was when she was in grade 1 and I was in grade 6.
Oh, okay.
So then after that, when she'd start junior high, I'd started high school and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So and then by the time she was in high school, I wasn't. So it was nice that we were close enough to be relatable about different things, but further enough apart where we were very much like we didn't go to the same schools, we didn't mm-hmm. see the same people, we didn't, you know. But now she's one of my best friends. I talk to her at least every day. Yeah, I mean, she's one of the big influences of my life kind of deal, so, yeah.
Does she live here?
No, she lives in back home in Calgary. Yeah, she's got her own life. She's 23 now, so she's got her full journeyman's for welding and living on her own and, you know, just working.
Killing it.
Yep.
Who were your grandparents, your great-grandparents? Do you have any memories of them? And if you know, like, what kind of work did they do?
So memories of my great-grandparents, I don't have any except for my great-grandma on my mom's side. And it's only like a very, like, I remember, because she lived in assisted living and stuff, because she was ancient. But I remember my mom, like, introducing me to her, because I don't think, like, I probably didn't remember from when I was super little. And then, like, I hadn't seen her in a while because of the assisted living and stuff. But other than that, no, I don't think I ever met my other great-grandma or my other great-grandparents. My grandparents on my mom's side, my grandfather, he was part of the Canadian Armed Forces for 20-something years. He was a tank driver, and he went all over the world, Egypt, Germany, stuff like that, doing that. And then after that, he came back home, and then he worked for the Royal Bank of Canada for another 20 years kind of deal. And then my grandma, because she was very much like, I don't want to say like a housewife, like she always worked, but it wasn't like her job was raising my mom and her two brothers. But she always like, she did, it was this, this school bus that was filled with books that they would drive around and like give to people who like needed books or didn't have any and stuff like that. So that was one of her jobs.
She, a mobile library.
Yeah. Thing. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very odd and end stuff. She worked at the bank with my grandfather for a few years. Yeah, so like she's always been busy, but it's never been like career orientated stuff. And then my grandparents on my dad's side, because of the estranged relationship and because of like I was pretty young when that all went down, I'm sure I knew what they did or but I can't remember at this time. But they were great. I mean, they were from England. My dad was born in England, so I'm like first generation English. But so they had like the really thick accents and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and still very much like, you know, 2 p.m. tea and stuff like that every day at the house. And
did they move to Canada or
yeah,
here?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, they
with,
moved to Canada.
Your dad?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was, I think he was like 5 or 6 or something like that when they moved. And then, yeah, and they moved straight, like, directly to Calgary when they moved and been there ever since kind of deal. They were great. I was really fortunate with all my grandparents. Like, they were all really loving and really sweet and stuff, yeah.
Are any of them still alive?
No. Or one, yes, actually, sorry. My dad's mom is still alive. Yes.
What is your earliest memory?
So my earliest, like, real memory that I can actually remember, like, you know, being introduced to my great grandma and stuff. Like, I don't really remember that, but my real one was after or before we were in the house that like I grew up in. We were in this apartment, and it was my like third birthday, I think. And my dad used to work for a company that was called Napa Auto Parts, and that's where he always was. He was always working and stuff like that. And I remember him being at my birthday and, like, just being so happy. Like, it's weird thinking back, like, looking back and thinking, like, I was excited for him to be there because, like, he was never home. But I did, like, I didn't think anything of it, so I was just so happy he was there. And so, like, I opened presents and I had pretty sure it was a Ninja Turtle cake. And but the memory is I unwrapped the present he gave me, and it was this, like, battery-operated Napa Auto Parts speedboat. This little toy, maybe like 4 or 5 inches long kind of deal, nothing. But you could like turn it on, put it in water, and it would like jet around the bathtub or whatever and stuff. And I remember opening it and just like being so happy and so excited and running into the bathroom and like just turning the tub on, plugging it, and just sitting there waiting for this tub to fill so I can put my boat in. That's like my earliest memory. I was so happy with that. Yeah.
Was that something that you had asked for?
No. That was the other thing too. I think that's like why I got, it was like two parts, like not only it was what it was, but it was from my dad, you know, and like not expecting him to be there, but being happy he was kind of deal, and then getting something from him, and it was really great.
Cape Topper really for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a nickname, and if so, how did you get it? Or like a family nickname?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few nicknames throughout, like with friends in high school and stuff. My nickname was Cookie. I got it. I was a really nice guy in high school. Like, not like, I don't know. I talked to everyone. Mm-hmm. I was very social. Like, even if it wasn't popular kids, mm-hmm. or whatever, like I was just, it's very nice to people. And so I got the nickname Cookie because I was so sweet.
Okay.
It's cheesy, but that's what that, I played hockey for many, many years, across many teams. I've had, like, you always get hockey nicknames. One team, I was the oldest person on the team, but by about a year. Mm-hmm. And so it evolved from old man to geezer to goose. So then that's how that went. And then my current place of employment right now, the play on words of Wu-Tang Clan, I am now Wu-Tang Dan. Which among, I like that one a lot.
Among many others.
Among many others. Always on my toes about that one. But yeah, I mean, I've always really enjoyed my nicknames.
What was the worst thing you did as a kid?
So as a kid, as a small child, so I went to this daycare every day. And there was like this outside area, like a little park and like, you know, a jungle gym thing. And I remember seeing, like, people would take their shoes off and, like, watches off or whatever and, like, put them off to the side. And I remember seeing a watch that I thought was really, really cool. So as a guilty kid, I took this watch. And then I went home, and this was after my parents had split up. So I went home, and I was wearing the watch, and my dad asked me, "Where did you get that?" So I said, "Well, my mom gave it to me." And then it gets better. And so he was like, "Oh, well, you know, I told her I was going to get you a watch." And so he, like, pulled out this watch that he was going to give me. So he was, like, excited to give me this watch, but, like, upset about it kind of deal. Like, I told her I was getting you a watch, and, like, she got you a watch.
So you got your mom in trouble.
So then it gets better. So then at the end of the weekend, my mom picked me up and stuff, and I was wearing the watch that my dad gave me and stuff. And she goes, "Well, where'd you get that watch?" And I was like, "Oh, I got it from Dad." And she was like, I thought we agreed that I was going to get you a watch. And then she pulled out this watch when we got home. And, like, so it's in there. So, yeah, so, like, it kind of, like, it started out as a lie, like, putting them back and forth together. So then at the end of these 2 days, I ended up with 3 watches. I ended up giving the kid that I took his watch. I gave it back because I felt really bad. But, yeah, it was just, that was probably the worst thing I did as a kid.
Did your parents know about the stolen one?
If they did, they never brought it up to me.
Okay.
And then about each other getting me the watch or, like, how it all started. If they found out, they never brought it up to me, so I don't think so.
Long kept secret.
Right.
What did you do during the summer when you were off from school?
Stayed at my grandma's house. She lived close to our house and stuff, so mom would go to work. On the way to work, she would drop us off at grandma's, so we'd spend the day there. Mm-hmm. And then on the way back, she would pick us up and stuff, which was cool because, I mean, grandma was a grandma. She was great and wanted to do things and cook things and stuff.
Yeah.
But she was also really good about, like, asking what we wanted to do kind of deal. You know, it'd be like, "Well, Grandma, I don't want to do anything. I want to ride my bike today." "All right, see you later. Go ride your bike." But then again, like, looking back at it, like, we would do things for her around the house and stuff like that. And, like, at the time didn't realize like how important it was kind of deal, but like now looking back, it was very symbiotic kind of deal. Yeah. So it was nice.
If you could go back and relive your teenage years, would you? Why or why not?
I think I would. My teenage years were the best fun I had in my life, I think. I mean, it was at that time they were the best fun I had in my life. I would go back because one of my biggest regrets ever was never graduating. So if I was to go back, I would change that and focus on that, which would make sense as to why it was the best time of my life, because I wasn't in school. but yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, I would do things differently, but I definitely would. A lot of my closest friends that I have to this day, I met in high school. Mm-hmm. And so just having the availability of seeing all those people every day without having to try and stuff. But it was great. I mean, I liked it. I would change one minor detail, but other than that, yeah, it was great.
When did you leave school?
So I went, I dropped out in grade 11. I dropped out in grade 11. There was things going on and stuff, and I just wasn't going to school. My mom had a come to Jesus talk with me, like, if you're not going to go to school, get a job. At least you're doing something kind of deal. And then I went back for grade 12 because, I regretted my decision and stuff like that. And then went back for grade 12, did everything I needed to do, but I was missing a few things still. So I went back to be a super senior for a repeating 12 and did everything I needed to do. And I ended up like, I had all my prerequisites, but the amount of credits I had, you needed like 100. And I think I had 96 or something like that. So it was like, it just sucked because like that time I took off was definitely the defining, because I took full units every semester after I came back and stuff, and I mean, that's how I got all my prerequisites, but because of all that time I missed, I couldn't take the extra elective courses to get me the credits I needed, so, unfortunate.
So close.
It just goes to say, learn from me.
How did you meet your wife?
I met her on World of Warcraft. I was in a group to clear content on the game with her brother for I think a year or year and a half or something before I had ever even met her online. But in this group she had then joined us, and that's how I met her. And then it became like a personal relationship after, like, you know, instead of like doing things just in a group, like we started doing things just together. And then, you know, we started Skyping while we were doing it so we could hear each other, and then exchange Facebooks, and we started messaging, and like, you know, put faces to names kind of deal. And then, you know, 8 years later, here we are.
Involved into meeting in person.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you know that she was the one? Or when did you know that she was the one?
How I knew she was the one was, I always explain it the same way to people, is I didn't choose this. And I mean it in the best way. And like, I was a Canadian guy from Calgary, Alberta. I didn't choose to meet this person from Sacramento, California, and feel the way I did, you know, and as strongly as I did. Like, I didn't choose to have this long distance relationship for just about 2 years before we ended up living together, or like we had the long distance relationship for a year before we ever met in person and stuff. So I think just the situation and the fact that we were both so willing to go through with what we did, like, that we didn't choose it, but like, that's what made it. The moment I knew was after I went down for her birthday to see her in Sacramento. And it was the first time I was seeing each other in person. And I was down here for, I would say 8 days, 10 days, somewhere in that range. And me being dropped off at the airport and like leaving, and honestly thinking I should miss my flight and just be here, you know, regardless of what I had going on. And I had never thought anything like that, like anything so extreme like that in my life. And I think that was the moment I knew, like, this was going to be, this was it kind of deal. So, yeah.
What are the most important lessons you've learned from your wife?
That is a good one. Patience. Patience is a really big one. I'm a pretty patient guy, but it's like I've been known to get excited or heated under certain situations. When it's like jump to conclusions, I guess is the best way to do it. You know, never acting on it, but it was definitely like the knee jerk reaction. But she's very much the all big picture perspective, all around think, you know, thinks 10 times before she jumps kind of deal. And I think that's been the biggest thing is just learning that patience. Even before, like it would be a good thing we'd be talking about, and I'd be excited and stuff, and I'd get louder and louder, and it would sound like I was yelling, you know.
Even so, if you were
even if I was happy and stuff. So like I think that's probably the biggest one, you know. And just I mean, our favorite saying, especially when it comes to like me moving down here and like all the things we had to go through, is just roll with the punches, you know. Again, it's just gotta do it. There's no other option. So
chill out about it.
Exactly.
Can you tell me the story of how you came to live in the U.S.?
Yeah. So my wife and I, we were living together for a few years. This is before we were married. We were living together for about a year and a half, and she lived with me in Calgary. And I was working at a job We knew one of us needed to make the decision, you know, if we're gonna stay in Calgary, like, let's fully commit to it and whatever. But if not, like, you know, let's move. Let's fully commit to moving and being down with her family and stuff. And a few things kind of happened as we were trying to make the decision, which is like, you know, I think it was a message from somebody to help us make it. But I was working a job. I was managing a restaurant, and it was kind of at the beginning of this job, they were saying, you know, pay your dues, pay, you know, work the 5 years, you know, we'll move you from employee to supervisor to manager. And if all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed by these 5 years, we'll start looking into franchising options for you.
Oh, wow.
5 years came and went, and we were moving on to year six, and I was bringing up the topic and was getting dodged and just wasn't willing to wait maybe another 5 years, you know. So it's just kind of, which is interesting to think, because I mean, I think right now would have been that extra 5 year mark. So yeah. Who knows? And then also it was like it's the support system, because we've always wanted to have a family and stuff. And my family's great; I love them to death, but they're very much to themselves, in the sense of like, well, if you needed something, you'd ask kind of mentality. Whereas her family has always been the, like, can I do this for you? Can we help you with this? Can we just very, very more, I don't want to say together, but just supportive and like outwardly supportive. Yeah, I know my family would do anything for me, but I know her family would do it before we need to ask, kind of deal. So those were kind of the major contributing factors was, you know, if, because one of us was going to have to start fresh from something. So it was either her starting fresh in Calgary or me starting fresh in Chico. And we just traded Canadian weather for California weather. And you know, it's been great ever since. Maybe not today, but
snow for heat wave.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you miss the most about Canada?
Oh, the people, by far. I mean, the people as in like my people, my closest friends of the world are still the people that I was really close with in high school. And that's over 10 years ago now. I mean, other than that, I mean, I miss my mom. I miss my sister. They're two of my best friends in my life. But yeah, I mean, it's mostly the people. I mean, and the coffee. That's the other thing too, actually. Tim Hortons coffee. We are proud of that. Being able to just easily find a hockey game on TV. That's the other one. But most the people, I mean, friends I've had forever, like having. Just have that group of people that you can, you know, sit in a room and quiet, and that's like hanging out kind of deal. So, yeah.
Your family, your other family.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a server. I work at Burgers and Brew. I've always wanted, ever since the last job I had, I never had any restaurant experience, the management job. And ever since, because I always wanted to be a cook, was something I wanted to go for. But then ever since I started doing the job more in the office role, in the supervisor or management role, I found I liked that more, being in the office than the kitchen. So I think for the rest of my life I'm going to be in restaurants, just because that's the environment I love. That's where I want to be. Yeah.
Like the front of house.
Exactly. I like overseeing everything, and instead of being, I prefer being the leader than the boss kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to, yeah, that's probably where I'm going to be.
How did you find your way to your current job / career?
So after I dropped out of school, I was, you know, get a job kind of deal. And I have done every terrible job I think there is for a person to do. I was an oil change specialist in a garage, which means I just did all the shitty jobs that none of the real mechanics wanted to do. I did construction for years. I mixed cement. That was basically my job. We did stucco siding for houses. So my job was mixing cement, filling a wheelbarrow, filling a bucket, and pulling it off the pulley, and lather, rinse, repeat. And I mean, I pushed snow shovels for the city of Calgary. Like, I've just done really, really terrible jobs. And a friend of mine, his uncle was opening a restaurant, and he knew that, like, I had always been interested in cooking and stuff, so, hey, you should go for this job, like, go for an interview. And I was like, man, I ain't got any restaurant experience. He's like, you know what, I could tell him that, I'll give you my reference and stuff, because the friend that he worked, his family had a restaurant, he had restaurant experience and stuff, so, like, his recommendation would carry some weight. And it did. I got the job. And, you know, started at the bottom, started out just, you know, prep cook and stuff like that, started in the back and then worked my way out to the front. And then I remember one day asking my boss at the restaurant, you know, hey, man, I remember applying here and, like, interviewing with you guys. And I was like, man, this isn't going to work. I don't have any experience and stuff. So, like, you know, what was it that made you hire me? And he said that he looked at my resume and he saw the jobs I had listed. And he was like, he saw that I, you know, had worked the job. You know, I was the grease monkey in the mechanics bay for a year and a half. I mixed cement for 2 years. I pushed shovels. And it's like, if this guy can do all these shitty jobs for extended periods of time, and he's a blank slate that I can teach anything, he doesn't have any prior knowledge, I can just teach him whatever I want, and he's going to do things I want. If he's willing to stick to these terrible jobs for 2 years, I can only imagine what he'd be willing to do for a job here. And so, yeah, it's because I've, you know, done really terrible jobs. And he's like, well, this one isn't as bad as those, so how bad could it be? But, yeah, and then, I mean, I just kept working and kept learning, and just anything he offered to teach me, I would learn, and went into supervisor and eventually manager and stuff. And now it's all I want to do. Now that's the environment, the ever-changing, you know, restaurant scene. That's where I want to be.
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
I mean, it's been like, there's been a few things. I mean, you know, my grandparents passing was really hard on me. We had an uncle that was really, really close to the family, really, really close to me. Him passing was really tough. I think as far as like stuff specific to me, it wasn't so much a moment, but it was a process of getting my residency to be in the States. The amount of time it took, the amount of money it took, the amount of time where I couldn't work and my wife had to be the breadwinner and stuff like that, and being the person who always lived on his own and was always, you know, provided for himself and provided for people and stuff, going, like, having that such extreme role reversal, was really, really tough. And always trying to find ways where I could take the load off of my wife, but never feeling like it's doing anything, you know, because all you would see is bills and stuff like that, and our legal fees in our case because of the citizenship and all these things. I mean, and the fact that it took about 3 years and, you know, $5,000 and stuff like that, like, that's probably the most difficult time thing in my life. Yeah.
Well, I had no idea that it took that much time and money.
Yeah, neither did we.
Can you tell me about one person that you remember who has been particularly kind to you in your life? And if they were here, what would you say to them?
So after my parents split up, my mom, she, really, really grateful for this, but she made the decision that I needed to have a male figure in my life. So she talked to me about it and signed me up for the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. So my big brother, Wade, through this. You know, I think there's just so many things that we just don't understand, like the big picture, until like later on. And he was probably the perfect person to match with. He was just a really great A guy. He now owns like the biggest windshield manufacturing distributor in Canada. But he started there like sweeping up broken glass in their warehouse when he was like 14 years old. So like having someone who was very much that nose to the grindstone, work, pays off kind of deal. But even with having all that, he wasn't jaded about it kind of deal. It was very much just a, well, this is what you got to do. And I think that's probably one of the biggest influences between him and my mom, why I have the work ethic I do, is like, well, you just have to work. Like, it's just what you do. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no other option. And then, like, after getting to know him we were paired up for years. And then even after, because once you hit 18, like, you can't be a little brother anymore. Right. They're 17, I think. And then even after, like, we still talk every now and again and stuff. But, yeah, in spite of all the things that he had to work for and all the things that he had to go through, you know, he's just always been such an amazing person to everyone. I remember, like, when we were hanging out and stuff, when he was, like, a regional manager and stuff, he was taking care of his parents. His parents couldn't take care of themselves. He was doing that. Like, he was just a great, great person. And I mean, if I was to tell him now, it's like, thank God for you. Because, like, it could have been a loser I got matched up with, yeah, or something else could have terrible happened. My mom could have not matched me or got me in this program. But, like, I think a big part of the work ethic and the decision making and stuff is from him, and just seeing, like, having that role model. Mm-hmm. So just thank God for you. That's probably what I'd say. Yeah.
What are you proudest of personally and professionally in your life?
Personally, it's my marriage. I mean, we, you know, started out as two people on a computer game and stuff, and, you know, this is going to be 5 years in September and stuff, and it hasn't even felt, not even close to 5 years. And especially all the things that we had to go through, and I mean, all the things, you know, everyone goes through, mm-hmm, and stuff we're currently going through, just the way we've been able to just always be there for each other, and, like, I don't know, just, it's never been a question kind of deal. Like, it's always been rock solid. Professionally, I mean, it was probably working my way up to management, going from no experience to management, you know, getting that promotion phone call and stuff like that. That was probably the best professional thing I've ever done.
Thinking about your family many generations from now, and knowing that they might hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them, or any advice or wisdom you'd like to share?
Your family is your family. Do everything for each other. I mean, I know, you know, that came from, and family can mean anything. I mean, coming from a divorced home, like, you know, my older brother, Wade, like, I would consider him family and stuff, and I would do anything for him. My close friends back home, that, you know, I would do anything for him. Because if you're willing to do that and you let it known to people, they'll do it for you, you know. And tell each other that you miss each other and stuff, and tell each other that you love each other and how much you guys mean to each other, because it's so nice to hear. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, That's it's a big deal. I have a friend, I haven't seen her in years, since high school probably, maybe a little afterwards. And we were best friends in high school. And I thought of her the other day, and I sent her a Facebook message like, hey, I thought of you, you know, today. Like, and we don't talk that often at all. I think last time I talked to her was a few years ago. And just, oh, hey, I thought of you today, you know, just hoping you're doing well and all this stuff. And we ended up getting on this conversation about, like, just how nice it is to hear that. Mm-hmm. Just how nice it is to, hey, I thought about you, and I went out of my way to just say, how the fuck are you?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. Yeah, just be there for each other. And, you know, if you're feeling it, say it. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes we assume those people in our lives already know.
Yeah.
Even though we don't reiterate it, but you can't say it enough.
Yeah. I mean, I play a lot of video games with my friends back home, and we have it's like a voice program that you can talk real time with, kind of deal. And 9 times out of 10, we'll be in this program and just doing our own separate things, but it's still just like, you know, we're hanging out. And like a year ago, and I told them, I was like, man, I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate this. You know, you guys, like, it's not like they're, you know, sacrificing anything or anything, mm-hmm. but it's like, you guys could be doing anything right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like, we're all deciding to, like, continue to just, you know, still hang out, even though it's online or whatever, you know.
You're putting that time into your relationship.
Yeah. That's the best way to put it. Put time into your relationships.
I just want to say, just thank you, Dan, for taking the time to let me interview you.
You're very welcome.
Okay.